Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Planning is a key success and sometimes leads even to happiness. If you do not have a plan for your life, you may end up following someone else's plan or dream. I'm going to share a few verses of quotes about planning, and then also I want to refer to God's word in setting the tone for our message to you this morning. Here's one. Good planning without good working is nothing. Quoted by former President Dwight D. Eisenhower. A goal without a plan is just a wish. Benjamin Franklin. And one of the ones that really struck me is in this list of quotes on planning, and I want to share this one next. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Abraham Lincoln. And as I said, I wanted to give you now from God's word some verses about planning his will. And I'm going to be using these words interchangeably in the message this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, his will, his plan. And the third, which is one that is personally, I've used on numerous occasions in sharing God's word, in testimonies, and it's from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. It's in chapter 29, verse 11. Some of you may already know that and may anticipate what I'm going to be saying. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And friends, God's will for our lives has reason and purpose. And it is through Scripture where we can find that meaning and purpose and principles discerning his will. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just had shared from various scripture sources about your plan and your will. And I want to just recap from Jeremiah, because I think it just speaks to each of us that your plan indeed is a good one. And it is to prosper us, and it is not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. As we share this morning from different sources of verses, may we leave this day knowing that indeed your plan is a good one, and your will is a good one. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible, indeed, friends, tells us that God, who is the creator of the universe, knows you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. God has a will for you. And as I said, I want to interchangeably use those words to emphasize the message this morning, God's dream for your life, God's plan for your life. If you are a parent, and many of you are here this morning who are parents, even grandparents, you have a dream for your child. And even if you are not a parent, perhaps your parents had a dream for you. Certain questions, I think, always are at that level for parents when they think about their child. What will our baby be like? Will they have a dream of their own? What will it be? What will fill their thoughts? Will they do well in school? Will they be athletic or artistic or scientific? What is the destiny that God has for them? You see, God has a dream for his children, whether you're 6, 36, or 86. And he has a destiny for all his children. A dream matched by a destiny. And you know, friends, the question often that has to be asked is this: well then, Dennis, what is God's dream for me? What is God's dream for me? What is God's will for me? What is God's plan for me? And in short, God's dream, I'm using that word first, is to make you like his son, Jesus. In Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, and I quote, "You are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." End of quote. Now, perfect, when you think about that word for a moment, that seems to be asking a lot, doesn't it? Dreaming a lot. But when we come, when I come, when you come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, when we repent, and turn to Jesus Christ, God sees you as perfect. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, we read these words, and I quote, "I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness." End of quote. Friends, we can never be perfect in our own righteousness. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not just take away your sins and my sins. He also gave you his righteousness. God has clothed you and me with the robe of righteousness, which was paid in full by Jesus' blood. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells how God uses every circumstance, every up, every down, every relationship, everything we ever go through to make us more like his son Jesus. God's dream, God's will, God's plan for you is about the kind of person you are destined to become, the kind of relationship you will have with him. Well, then the question begs to be asked, well, how is this accomplished? How does this occur? Four things, and they're found in your outline if you have that before you this morning. God calls each one of us to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle, to be holy. Loving, kind, gentle, holy. God calls us to be people who live out our daily lives with integrity. God is with us every moment, friends, of every day. When you are driving your car, you can have a conversation with Him. You know that. When you are washing clothes, you can sing praises to Him. When you face a big decision in your life, you can ask your Heavenly Father to lead you, to guide you. You see, God cares about the details of your life. He wants to be in an intimate, loving, deep relationship with each of His children. God's plan for us, for you, for me, is that we would be spiritually mature. As disciples of Christ, as children of the living God, His dream for us, He wants us to think like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, and to love like Jesus. His dream, His will, His plan is that we would be selfless like Jesus. His will is that we would live a life where our priorities are the same as Jesus. His plan is that we would use our money and our time as Jesus would. Question has to be asked, how close is God's will, that plan, that dream to the reality of how you and I are actually living out that which the Lord has put before us? I think it's fair to say for some people the way they live their daily lives is far from the dream and the plan that God has for them. For some people who would say they are Christians, there is sometimes very little evidence in their daily lives that they are anything more than Christian in name only. Their words, their actions, their lifestyle, their belief in the truth of the word of God is sometimes pretty far from what God expects it to be. God's plan for you and I is that we would be more than people who are simply called Christian. His dream is that we would truly be disciples of Christ, on fire for the Lord, loving Him, loving each other, proclaiming by our words, our actions, yes, and our lifestyles, I, and you can fill in this, put your name, am a child of God. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am set free from the burden of my sin. In short, I am saved. I am saved. God's will for every one of us, you know, regardless of our backgrounds, our nationality, our gender, or our denomination, God's dream for every child is to become a disciple of the true follower of Jesus Christ. That is His plan. That is His will. That is His dream. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul writes about the work of Jesus Christ, the sin of mankind. He covers both basic and sometimes pretty deep theology. Paul writes about all God has accomplished and how much God loves people. God gives us a very clear summary of what His dream, His will, His plan is for your life in Romans chapter 12, which Jim read as our text this morning. First, we need to be in a real relationship with God. Let's consider, once again, verse 1, and I quote, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2. Quote, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. Our relationship with the world must not be allowed to damage our relationship, with our God. While many in the modern world, and you probably have heard this, those words, generations have used it, it goes something like this, oh, there's no God. There's no God. But you and I are not to live like that at all. Many in the world see God as unimportant. You and I are meant to live with God at the center of our lives. Oh, enter the devil, huh? Enter the devil. He will try his hardest to lure us away from the way in which God expects us to live. We must never let the behavior and customs, friends, of this world draw us away from what is right in his sight. God expects us to arrange our lives, our relationships, and yes, our priorities around his will, his plan, his purpose, his word, his dream. The word of God, I used that just a moment ago, must be our guide to life, and the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us in our daily walk. God wants to be in a relationship with you, not your religious activity. Yes, you're going to hear a series. I'm going to just try to show a contrast here. There is a place for Bible study. Amen to all of that. Yes, there is a place for the church, and you are where you need to be this morning. Yes, indeed, there is a place for prayer. And yes, there is a place for all kinds of spiritual things. Here comes the but. We can do all those things and still not be in a living relationship with him. We can do all these things and still not be living a life surrendered to God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but here comes that word again. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which again is good and pleasing and perfect. If we are born again disciples of Jesus in whom the Spirit of God lives, then we cannot live with one foot walking with God and the other foot walking in the world. Can't be done. Paul doesn't say, oh, why did you just try hard to be a good Christian? Paul does not say, hey, it's okay to compromise in certain areas. What does he say? Let God transform you. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we find these words, and I quote, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. End of quote. God or the world? God or the devil? God or self? Do not waver, You hear that in your faith. Trust God. Follow his plan. Follow his purpose. His dream. And yes, his commandments. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we find these words. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. That's pretty strong words, huh? And is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as who? Jesus did. So, God loves you. He has a dream for you. God has told us what it means to live a holy life. God has told us what it means to be righteous in his sight. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it appears in your outline, we read these words. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The promise. God is sovereign, and by his grace, his mercy, his compassion in Christ, even though we stumble, I stumble, even though at times we fall short, I fall short, God continues to love us and forgive us. I guess the question needs also to be asked, can you see yourself the way God sees you? You need to see yourself the way God sees you and experience what he has for you. Remember, you are loved. You are valuable. You are precious. And yes, you are forgiven. God made you. You are his child. You are his masterpiece. I always like that word. I like that word. Ephesians 2, verse 10 tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Think about that, friends. You are God's masterpiece. Accept the gifts, the strengths God has given you. Know what your weaknesses are. Yes. Know where you experience difficulties. Yes. Know where you may fall short. Yes, again. But know this. God has a dream for your life. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Question, as we're bringing our message to a close this morning. Have you ever thought, why am I in church today? I trust it is because God loves you and you love him. Fulfilling God's dream for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life, simply does require more from you, more from me, than simply just being in church on Sunday. What does it mean? Well, it is a willingness to surrender to God, to cross the line, to be separate from the values of the world. It is serving God how? In love, sincere love, not just a preference. It is hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. It is honoring God, giving preference to him. It is sacrificial living and giving to God. It is a relationship with God who loves you so much. We use our Bibles. Question might be asked, well, Dennis, why do you read the Bible? Well, I read the Bible because when in God's Word, I'm able to seek His voice, which is speaking to me through those words on the page. You see, friends, God wants to encourage you and encourage me through His Word. God wants you to experience His presence in your Word. So in closing our message for this morning, my final four encouragement points are these. One, remember God loves you. God loves you. Two, God has a plan for you. Three, God has a dream for you. And four, God has a destiny for you. The challenge, may each of us discover what is our destiny in Jesus Christ. Say amen, someone.
Amen.